The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody. It is the 29th of May. It is our last show together of the week, our last show together of the month of May. Holy cow, how time does fly when you're having a virus. And we are, but our victories over it mount. We got a lot to talk about today, much of it upbeat and uplifting, some of it downright depressing, and a lot of it somewhere in between. So I'll tell you what, as we dive into that, let me give you the phone number, 866-660-5759. From the streets of fire in Minneapolis, the president got nailed and censored by Twitter. I would say, again, he wasn't censored the first time. He was vandalized on Twitter the other day by these folks. But now he's had a tweet taken down. Gee, what did he say? We'll examine all of that, and we'll do it all within the context of something we can all agree on and all celebrate. Say it with me. It's Friday.
Wow! I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
I feel good. I feel good. You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good. I would not. So good. So good. I got to you. Wow. 1, 2, 3, 4.
So Rick Derringer assembled a band back in 73, not long after Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo, called it Derringer, which made sense. Their self-titled debut leads off with this, Let Me In. 866-660-5759. Welcome. It is so good to have you here. Let us gather together. I got any given morning, we got a lot of news stories just begging for attention. But I'll tell you what, let us pay attention first to the thing that we should always pay attention to. First, gather with me, and I appreciate you folks doing this with me to the degree that you wish. But it's something we've chosen to do, and it's been popular, and I think it's been important. As we begin this day, Lord, we ask your guidance through this day and this challenging time. Please be with those in need of healing and those in need of comfort as these changes affect our lives. As we reach out to reclaim our lives and our livelihoods, guide us with diligence and bless us with good health. Bless our homes, bless our families, and our businesses as we step courageously into this new chapter. Lord, fill our hearts with the spirit of outreach to be there with prayer and resources for those less fortunate. Instill our leaders with wisdom and focus. Empower the minds gathered to find answers and cures. And remind us of your guidance and your love every day as we remind ourselves that by following your word, that we as people, we as a nation, we as a world, that we can get through anything. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen. So happy Friday and happy end of May. How's everybody doing? It's been a Memorial Day shortened week. But as we take a look at some of the changes, Governor Abbott opening the door for some in-person outdoor sporting events. Interestingly, I think I heard the technicality there that neither the Cowboys nor the Rangers play in an outdoor stadium. I mean, at AT&T Stadium for Jerry World, the roof opens, and I guess I need to walk into Globe Life. But wouldn't we all like to walk into Globe Life Field? You know who's going to walk into Globe Life Field over the weekend? Some graduates of the class of 2020. Larry Collins at Channel 5 has a very nice piece about the graduates of 2020 who will be graduating. They're in Globe Life Field, and how the Rangers are going to take a look at that and sort of see how it works for the turnstiles to actually move. Remember when there was such a thing as turnstiles? Anyway, so God bless the class of 2020, continuing with some actual in-person graduations. But hey, let us first turn where we need to turn, and that is to in-person rioting. That's right, in-person hooliganism, vandalism, opportunism. There are, out of Minneapolis, out of this cauldron of so many things that are wrong, let's take it in order. The death of George Floyd looks very, very wrong. It looks like the latest example of a police situation gone terribly wrong. And so there's thing number one, and that's where the entire ball gets rolling. The imagery of this officer's knee on his head, that's just not good. It seems, and listen, before I jump in, before I thought about saying anything about this, and I advise this for all of you, before you go mouthing off about what cops do, let's hear what cops actually say. And so when rank and file police and police chiefs across the nation weigh in to say, this is not right, this does not look kosher, this does not look proper, that informs me. Because far too often you can take a look at something and go, well, I don't know why the cop did that. And then it gets explained to you and you go, oh, sorry. And you realize you put your big old foot in your mouth. So my wish is to do that as seldom as possible. So as universally in the police community, there is a disapproval of the methodology there of Officer Chauvin and his knee on George Floyd's neck. There's your starting block. And speaking of universal, so too was the reaction. I mean, black and white, liberal and conservative, MSNBC and Fox News, Republican and Democrat. I mean, by and large, I mean, nothing is unanimous, but by and large, it was a wave of consensus that something horrible happened here. The officers involved, plural, both Officer Chauvin and the three officers who were there at the time, I am intrigued by that. You fire the guys who were standing there watching this? Okay. Well, were they fired for not tackling him and getting him off the guy's head? Maybe. That's among the many things to examine. Anyway, four officers fired. Fired immediately. No due process. Fired. Sometimes things are bad enough, like we'll fire you first, ask questions later. That's how bad this was. Okay. Even that met with general approval. The wheels continue to move. There's general consensus that, and by general consensus, I'd say a good majority of people who would say that charges, criminal charges, are not inappropriate. Now, it's a circuitous route, so follow me along here. A lot of people are looking for murder charges. Don't know if that's coming, because as we discussed in the Amber Geiger case, and her murder charge remains absurd. The intent, the malicious intent to kill. In Amber Geiger's case, she thought, there's somebody in my apartment, I need to shoot him, as any of us would do. Well, any of us who are armed and in the mood to do something about it. Now, her problem was criminal negligence, as I always said, because she was, and I believe criminally so, mistaken. It was not her apartment. When you are that screwed up in the head that you don't know if it's your own flipping apartment, that is such a big mistake that it's a crime. But murder? No, that was not a murder. And you know something? Neither is this. Does anybody think that Officer Chauvin intended to sit there and said, I'm going to kill this guy. I'm going to kill this guy. Not at all. Now, there's still lots of things you can get hit with, manslaughter, you know, just there are a ton of charges. So let's just talk about criminal charges broadly. Is there a general consensus in America that this might be ripe for actual criminal charges? Yes. So far, so good. The wheels of justice are turning. The court system is ready to go. The court of public opinion is in the ballpark on the side of George Floyd and those who are saddened and angered and infuriated. This was not real divisive. There was not an enormous hue and cry coming up from the land of saying, oh, these cops have been railroaded. No. So we're moving along here, right? Oh, no. Oh, no. Because then you get rioting. You get rioting. There is no other word. Now, some of it is protest. If you got a bunch of people, I put a YouTube live stream up last night or linked to it on Twitter. Somebody was at the Hennepin County Government Building where it is ringed by police because God only knows what the next building is that some of these hooligans are in the mood to smash. And they said, it's not going to happen here. So there's a line of riot gear clad state troopers and a bunch of people just screaming at them. You know, this is your fault and the blood is on your hands and chanting George Floyd's name and no justice, no peace and Black Lives Matter. And, you know, is that that's a protest. That's not a crime. That's a protest. It's a really loud protest. But that's within the confines of protest. Destroying a store, not within the realm of protest. Beating people up, not within the realm of protest. Pulling people out of cars, not within the realm of protest. Destroying cars, not within the realm of protest. Breaking in, I mentioned breaking into a building and destroying the front of a building. Guess what one of the buildings was last night? That would be a police precinct. Third precinct, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And now we get to the final cog in the screwed up wheel. And that is media coverage of this. We have a media culture that is rooting for the virus instead of for us to get better from the virus in terms of health and our economy and our lives. Rooting for the virus, celebrating the virus in their own manner of emphasis. So why should it surprise anyone that the media culture is pro-rioter, doing all it can, contorting itself into pretzel shapes in order to not call rioters rioters, in order to not stigmatize what is hellish, lawless behavior. You know what one of the networks called, I guess it was ABC, you know what one of the networks called the destruction of the police precinct last night? They gained access. Protesters gained access to the third precinct. Oh, man. No, when I go home, I'll gain access to my house by putting the key in the door and walking in. You know, I gained access to this building by putting my card up to the sensor and walking in the back. If I throw something through the window and set fire to stuff, that's not gaining access. That's breaking in. That is destroying something. That's committing a heinous, heinous crime. And that's what these people are about. So no matter the media attempts to sugarcoat it. Oh, hang on a sec. This is the best. This is the best. Here's a guy on MSNBC. I know, shocker. And you'll hear it, but then I need to describe. Well, he'll describe what's going on. Here's a reporter. And he really wants to make a point about the protests going on behind him.
I want to be clear in how I characterize this. This is mostly a protest. It is not, generally speaking, unruly, but fires have been started.
I'm sorry, we laugh lest we cry. It is not, generally speaking, unruly. But fires have been started. Oh, no, by the way, as you take this is on my Twitter feed. Washington Examiner put it up and I retweeted it immediately about an hour ago. Just go to @MarkDavis. Just look at it. It's just glorious.
I want to be clear in how I characterize this. This is a mostly a protest. It is not generally speaking unruly, but fires have been started.
And a building directly behind him is embroiled in a raging inferno, but it's not generally speaking unruly. Oh my. And they gained access to the police precinct. And I guess there's one more because, listen, why let Minneapolis have all the fun from Memphis to Los Angeles? There were some folks in L.A. Here's a favorite tactic. Blocking the freeway. Blocking a highway. And some outlet referred to this as a peaceful protest. Peaceful protesters blocking the highway. Blocking a highway is not peaceful. The definition of peaceful is not anything short of killing someone. Anything that is that disruptive. If I walk calmly into your house at 3 o'clock in the morning, that's not peaceful. I'm not supposed to be there. It's disruptive. It's scary. It's horrible. Blocking traffic is unbelievably dangerous, incredibly stupid, and disruptive criminal behavior. That is not peaceful. So it's problems on top of problems, kids. And you know what? The real sad, pathetic, here's what's really sad, is that right now, May 29th, what we should be about, this should be, honestly, a unifying moment in America. As our country that has been badgered and downplayed and criticized as being racist, this is evidence of how grossly untrue that is. Because we as a country stand virtually unanimous in observing the death of George Floyd and saying that that's just absolutely terrible. But we don't get to do that. We don't get to stand together in a quest for justice. We don't get to stand together and do anything here. Because hooligans and rioters have taken to the streets. While things were in the process of going their way. Things were going their way. All right, last thing, and I got a break, and then I got to get to Mike Gallagher and the news and da-da-da-da-da. President Trump tweeted last night and then got knocked off of Twitter for this particular tweet. Here we go. These thugs are dishonoring the memory of George Floyd, and I won't let that happen. Just spoke to Governor Tim Walz and told him that the military is with him all the way. Any difficulty and we will assume control, but when the looting starts, the shooting starts. Thank you. Okay. That's President of the United States with a big burst of law and order. And the Minneapolis police in many, many cases absolutely stood down. Stood down and did nothing as property was destroyed. So anyway, Twitter comes in and says, this tweet from the president violates our policies regarding the glorification of violence. That's not a glorification of violence. That is that's the delivery of a promise of what actually should happen when looters and rioters seek to destroy their communities, ostensibly in some outpouring of anger and sadness. No. We've all been angry. We've all been sad. 99% of everybody who's angry and sad about the death of George Floyd did not show their anger and sadness by pillaging and looting. No excuses. This is not a natural extension of anger. This is not, rage stemming from an injustice. This is opportunism. This is opportunism bringing out the worst in people of dreadful, dreadful character. Don't be fooled. 725, Mark Davis, 660 AM, the answer. Come to our talk show window. Climb on in. Mike Gallagher and I are inside. We're about to hold court on various issues. The great Melissa Etheridge, and come to my window.
I don't care what they think.
She is 59 today, among our musical birthdays. 866-660-5759. The aforementioned Mike Gallagher joins me next. Here's Gordon Griffin in the newsroom. I'm Mark Davis, 732. Without fear of much contradiction, one of the great records of the 1960s. Greatness of Procol Harum, Whiter Shade of Pale. Out front there in the vocals and the keyboards, Gary Brooker of Procol Harum is 75 today. Little 7-year-old Mike Gallagher would have been running around in the summer of 1967 as that was blaring off the radio. Mr. Mike, how you doing? Happy Friday.
I would have been having my Mary Poppins umbrella. I'd be running around pretending to be her Mary Poppins.
There's a visual.
Any question about why I turned out the way I did? I mean, come on.
That's great.
Now, I did go.
The neighborhood kids are getting up, pick up baseball games and, oh,
right,
where's Mike?
Right.
Just a spoonful of sugar and some medicine.
Now, I did go through a Superman phase.
Okay, well,
I used
cool.
to run
that's
around
good.
With a Superman cape. And I went through a priest phase, I would say mass, for my parents when I was 5 years old. I would get dressed up and pretend I was a priest. And I would, you know, give communion. I was raised a Catholic. So,
Lord. Well, yeah. I mean, okay,
so,
well,
listen,
all right. I mean, you know.
When I get on the therapist's couch, it's like a whole hour and a half of
it's
just,
it's a kaleidoscope,
you know,
of wonder.
Well, it's a Petri dish.
Well, you're a multifaceted guy with broad interests, and that's what gets us to today. So, happy Friday.
Well, what a day. Happy Friday. We made it. How often do you apologize on the radio?
Okay, for something I've said?
Yeah, for a position you've taken or a way you've handled something.
Because
I owe a big apology
today.
So I want to.
Alrighty.
Yep. Do you do this very often?
I'm going to answer your question. Close to never. And it's not because, listen, in life outside the radio, pretty constantly. This is the one place where thankfully I've got everything together for about the last decade. But back through the decades, I've had a lot to apologize for in real life. On the radio, not so much. But I'm far from perfect. Are there things not to drill down too deeply because I crave your story. Do I go back and listen to old shows or listen to something or go back and revisit and go, I could have handled that a little differently? But you're talking about a bar where you really feel like coming back on the air and actually expressing contrition for something you've just said or done, correct?
Yeah,
and
it's because, and you're going to be, and it's also a great testament to you, the reason you don't apologize very often is that you're so good and you're thorough and you're prepared. And I just want to bare my soul for 2 seconds with you because this is part of what I'm going to preview what I'm going to do on the show today because I've been working hard, too, through this whole pandemic. We got a lot to cover out of Minneapolis and the riots and everything that are happening around the country, including outside my apartment in New York City, where the big lovely words F the NYPD were spray painted on
that's
a beautiful
good.
Church right outside my apartment building in New York. So that's interesting to know. But before we get to that, I'm trying to be a good soldier. And I believe you come into this radio show every day armed with knowledge. I want to be prepared. I want to study. I've been studying this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching the states. I'm watching the data. We're all doing the same thing. And I feel a special sense of obligation as a radio host to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the scientists and the doctors seem to be saying, you know, in order to safely reopen gradually, the mask is going to be part of our world.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand the pushback, and I've respected it. I don't want it mandated. I don't want anybody arrested.
Mm-hmm.
But Disney World, for example, which is a very special place for me and my family over the years, they're going to open in July. And guess what? Every visitor is expected, apparently, to wear a mask.
There you go.
And a lot of people are saying, oh, that'll be great in August when it's 106 degrees and you're waiting in line to ride Space Mountain. You're going to have to wear a mask.
Yep.
But that's what they're trying to do because they've got to play a little bit of a game, too. They got to get the state of Florida and Ron DeSantis on board. Because he has to sign off on
that's
it.
That's right.
And everybody from the president down, from Burks, all of them are saying, wear a mask. It's courteous. It's courtesy. And my argument has been largely after a conversation I had with a young lady at a mail center where she deals with the public every day.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, Mike, we don't know who we're dealing with. We have a lot of elderly people come in. It gives us a degree of confidence
absolutely.
If you have a mask on.
Absolutely.
And I want them to be at work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my argument. Well, guess what? Have you seen what the World Health Organization is now saying about the use of masks? Here's the World Health Organization's guidance on mask wearing. Dr. April Baller, a public health specialist for the WHO, now has a video up on the WHO website. Look it up. If you don't have any symptoms like fever, cough, or runny nose, you do not need to wear a mask.
Oh, no.
We now know from studies. I give up. I give up, Mark. God. I give up. I'm throwing in the towel.
Yep.
Forget it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to present the information,
yep,
and I'm going to sit back and then play polka music and let people decide. I'm done.
Let people live their lives. Oh, but
I'm done.
That's smart. It is. That is.
I'm not kidding you. I mean, she does this thing that this whole message from the World Health Organization. I mean, last month the CDC saying wear a mask, wear a non-surgical face covering. The other night on ABC, they showed the droplets under green and under a blue light. Look at the droplets when you talk and you don't have a mask on. I put a mask on now because I think everybody's going to give me kryptonite. I got like kryptonite. I'm super
right, mega. Right.
Well, you know, the lady in her very earnest delivery yesterday, and I'm playing it. I'm playing the video.
I just found a quote. I can't wait to see it. Here's a quote. If you do not have any repository symptoms, such as fever, cough, or runny nose, you do not need to wear a mask. Masks should be only used by healthcare workers, caretakers, or people who are sick with symptoms of fever and cough.
Dr. Baller noted the masks give people a, quote, false feeling of protection. And then added,
what's that
the
mean?
Only health... Well, that they don't work.
Well, okay, but a false feel. Well, I mean, they obviously have some ability to. If you're wearing a mask, there's less coming out of you and less going into you. There is some value to that. But is it something we need to do in a real world mitigation situation? By false sense of security or whatever, is that an observation that people are wearing masks but then engaging in otherwise risky behavior? Continue. I'm as confused as you are.
I am so baffled at this point. I'm tired of trying to tell. First of all, here's my apology. I got to listen more intently to people who push back the way they have been, because a lot of people are pushing back. And I haven't been fighting with people. I'm saying, wait a minute. Well, they're telling us the CDC, blah, blah, blah. Now the World Health Organization. Who do you want to believe?
I mean, I know.
When Trump defunded the World Health Organization because of their corruption, well, the mainstream media said they're the gold standard. This is horrible.
How dare you just defund them?
We love the WHO. Yeah. They're
not today. Right. Not today.
Well, now they won't like this.
Nope.
Mark, they won't like this. So I don't know. I'm sorry for any kind of pushback. I'm going to learn my lesson.
Well,
I'm going to sit back.
Your bar for apology is set way low. If I apologized for everything I did along those lines, I'd apologize 14 times a week just for saying stuff. And then don't sweat it. People love you. The level of goodwill that you bring to the program, you are fine.
So.
However, you have arrived at some clarity. You've arrived at some great clarity.
Yeah.
Because if there's anything that's the lesson of the COVID-19 era, it when anybody says, "Oh, you got to follow the science." The science changes like the wind. One day it's masks. One day it's no masks. One day it's we're going to have 50 million dead people in the streets. And then all of a sudden it's going to be only as bad as a bad summer of the flu. And then it's everything in between. It changes constantly.
I am weary. I am bone weary. But we do have some good news, I guess, from ABC. If you want to believe ABC, they looked at 21 states.
Yep.
Including Texas,
mm-hmm,
including Florida,
mm-hmm,
21 states that eased restrictions May 4th or earlier, and found no major increase in hospitalizations, deaths, or percentage of people testing positive in any of them.
Look at that. This is where blood was going to be on the hands of Ron DeSantis,
yep,
Greg Abbott.
Yep.
Blood was going to be on the hands as these reckless, terrible states. Now, here's what we really need, and I'm crossing my fingers and kneeling in prayer, not so we can spike the left or own the libs or anything like that, but so that people can be healthy and our country can be better. We need those numbers to stay really good into the middle of June and the third week of June, the technical beginning of summer, because that'll mean that Memorial Day and all the big reopenings of the third week of May and the fourth week of May, that means that also those did not result in big spikes as well. And that will be wonderful news.
Well, remember something. I mean, early on, we had the big spring spring break outbreak, supposedly, on the Florida beaches. And everybody was like, well, there was not a massive spike after that either.
Mm-hmm.
There's a funny thing about the beaches, and again, somebody who lives on one now, you look down, it's a whole different vantage point than when you are taking a video at eye level. The eye level video makes it look like people are on top of each other. I'm telling you right now, when you're looking down at a group of people on the beach, most of them are social distancing.
Of course.
They are. They're not on top. So anyway, and at the National Review, one final thing before we talk about Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jim Garrity, these are not people who support President Trump. I mean, the National Review, you know, they're incorrigible.
They've been most scolded. Rich Lowry's gotten enough of a butt,
yeah,
butt whipping.
He's gotten better.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, continue.
But anyway, the writer here is not. I mean, the article that I'm going to cite is critical of Trump, but halfway through, he points out that some statistical data, Robert Verbruggen wrote about how concentrated our coronavirus outbreak really is in America. One-third of U.S. COVID deaths are in counties that hold just 4% of the population, and another third are in counties holding 11%.
Yeah.
And then here's the killer. Here's the killer. Evick Roy pointed out, nursing home and assisted living facilities hold just 0.6% of the population in America, but have produced, are you ready for this?
How much?
43% of COVID deaths in the country.
There you go.
Almost half the deaths from nursing homes, which represent just 0.6% of the population.
We didn't have to do
that. That's why Cuomo's actions are so egregious.
Yep. The shutdown was unnecessary. The lockdown was unnecessary.
And
we did not have to do any
and
of set,
this. Yeah, and sending sick patients into nursing homes the way he did in New York. I mean, unbelievable. Now, how about Minneapolis?
Yep.
Mark, what's it going to take to arrest this officer?
I don't know. He needs to be charged with something. I don't think it's going to be murder, so get ready for that, because I don't know. I don't know if he's a murderer. Murder involves intent. Murder involves malice. I mean, this was horrible malfeasance of duty. It was horrible disregard for his well-being. Is it murder? Probably not. And so we'll probably have, even if when he's charged with something, we may have more rioting because the mob won't have what it wants, and that's his head on a platter. So,
and yesterday you had the Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman saying that there's other evidence that does not support a criminal charge.
Yeah, what would that be?
Later,
I mean, I'm open
fight?
To it. That's what due process is. I'm totally open to it, but you know, go ahead.
Yeah. What does that look like? What does that mean? I don't get that either.
So we have three. So we have the death of George Floyd, which is terrible. We have the rioting, which is terrible. And now the media coddling of the rioters, the pro-COVID, pro-rioting media. I love this on ABC. And now Fox News on their website. What did the protesters do at the Third Precinct last night? They gained access. They broke in. They destroyed the building. The unbelievable
better for you.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to walk on you, but
no,
I'm so
fine.
Excited about one. I got one better for you.
I might have just played it.
There's the MSNBC reporter standing in front
of
the burning buildings.
It's by and large not unruly.
As the buildings are burning in the background.
Fires have been started.
Do you remember the movie scene of the late, great Leslie Nielsen? He's like, all is calm, and there's burning buildings
and people
jumping out of buildings. We got to find that clip and juxtapose it. I mean, I don't mean to inject humor here at a very serious juncture in our nation's history, but that's unintentionally hilarious.
It is indeed.
Good old MSNBC.
So there we go.
Did you not smell the smoke, buddy?
I know, dude.
I mean,
ding, 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 ding. By and large,
It's not unruly. And he says in the clip, did you just play the clip?
Yes,
did you play it?
He said fires have been started.
Yeah, at the end. Kind of like, well, fires have been started. Well, how'd that happen? Just rub a couple sticks together in the woods?
What the heck? It's an adventure,
all right,
buddy.
Well, we made it to Friday. Another week. We're almost into June. We're 100 kids over our goal. We want to end today with a bang.
Mike Online.
MikeOnline.com. Thank you very much, Mark, for all your support and your help. And may you have a wonderful, happy, restful weekend.
That we will. Can't wait to talk to you on Monday. But before Monday, there's the Friday Mike Gallagher Show. And that is at 10 when we wrap up today on 660 AM. The Answer, 752. Because a little away. Oasis.
You're my wonderwall.
1995. I don't play a lot of Oasis. I know they were a big deal. I don't know the whole Noel and Liam Gallagher thing. But anyway, Noel Gallagher is 53, so happy birthday there. They were a big deal. What was the... I guess, what's the story? Morning Glory, big album of theirs. Alrighty, hey, a big show of ours is underway. So we've gotten our mic segment taken care of. Let us dive into the 8 o'clock hour. Bunch of your calls, Minneapolis, media, Trump getting shut down on Twitter overnight. Just one tweet, but which they said glorified violence. All he did was promise consequences to looters. We'll let you take a look at that one and a number of other things going on in the news. 7:58, Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer.